Gee, your station has a lot of problems.
Tell me about it. Just look at our morning guy.
Hello, this is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you. Today, part four of our series of the agonizing pain in which I live every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, not the home of Mole Man in the Morning.
What makes you think she is a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt.
I got better.
Welcome, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. Today is February 17th, 2017. It's 9:01 in the morning. And I'm broadcasting live from the unceded Musqueam territory off the UBC campus. Today we have a special show. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to talk a bit about clams. Clams and clam gardens. And we're going to, just talk about kind of stuff like that. We'll see where we get off to. It's a good day to be listening to the radio. Today in the forecast, we have mostly showers. Looking like it's going to be about 9 degrees, so pretty moderately warm. Saturday, looks like 70% chance of showers, periods of rain, high 6. Sunday, around the same sort of deal. Really around the same sort of deal until Wednesday. Looking like there's going to be a break in the clouds Thursday. But who really knows with weather these days, huh? We are off the rainfall warning here in Vancouver. So that's good. But we still see rain in the future. Anyways, I am going to start us off with some tunes. We've actually got a pretty cool playlist today. Normally, I think every day I've got a cool playlist, but today is pretty cool. We've got some songs lined up. Hopefully, I get to them. By Sobi Setku, No Joy, Panda Riot, Tuesday in Japan, The Fonz. So lots of cool stuff. I'm going to start her off playing a song by the artist Steams. The song is called Solar Fruit Roll Up, and it's off his Snack Pack. The new album called Snack Pack. Pretty fun. He's out of Vancouver, Steams is. And this album was just released January 12th. So, very new. You're listening to a fresh track by Steams, Solar Fruit Roll Up. Hope you enjoy. Thank you.
Boost your resume by studying abroad and get that dream job. Don't miss the Graduate School Fair at The Nest, UBC, on Wednesday, March 1st, or the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Thursday, March 2nd, at the Vancouver Convention Center. Admission is free. Come early to catch our feature seminar on scholarships. For more info, visit our website at www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Lincoln Alexander was a Black Canadian who achieved much in politics. The child of Jamaican immigrants, he served in the Royal Canadian Air Force during World War II. He graduated from the Osgoode Hall Law School in 1953 and practiced at a number of firms for more than a decade. In 1968, he ran in Canada's federal election in the Hamilton West Electoral District. He won and became Canada's first Black Member of Parliament. He served four consecutive terms before stepping down in 1980. In 1985, he was appointed Lieutenant Governor of Ontario, becoming the first Black Canadian to hold a viceregal position. Alexander passed away on October 19, 2012. In December 2013, Lincoln Alexander Day was made a law in Ontario and is held on January 21st. His wife, Marnie Beale Alexander, is currently working to make it a national holiday for Canada. This has been a Black History Month PSA brought to you by CITR.
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio, and I am your host, Austin. We just listened to a song by Lunar Jungle Safety Flowchart. Kind of a mouthful of a name, but I really dig the name. They're kind of an experimental kind of beat. Describe themselves as vaporwave. Lots of cool music coming out of them. This song was the Choose Your Vehicle off the Menu Music album that just came out this February, about a week ago. So check it out. It's pretty cool. The song we had before that was a song by Tuesday in Japan off their newest album. Tuesday in Japan's a kind of a electronic duo out of Vancouver. Check them out. They got a lot of cool stuff. And of course, the first song was by the artist Seams, and the song was Solar Fruit Roll Up off his Snack Pack album. He's got like a couple snack related songs on this album that are it's like Fruit Gushers. What else does he have? Just a lot of other stuff like that, that same realm. Fruit Gushers, Fruit Roll-Ups, Fun Dip, a Dunkaroo. I'm not actually sure if is that a snack. I think that's just an action. You can Dunkaroo someone. But anyways, check it out, the Snack Pack album. Lots of cool stuff. Anyways, I am here to talk to you guys about clams. Clams are pretty like forgot about organism, I feel. They're super important to the BC coast and like pretty much all of the western coastline. They're not only like super important food to the indigenous people of British Columbia and Western, the coast, the coast people. They're just super important culturally, but also ecologically. Lots of species depend on clams for nutrition and, you know, just to live. So mainly one of the biggest clams species that we have native to our coast on in Vancouver is the soft shell clam, Maya arinciana. They're called soft shell clams here in North America, But I really like this name for them, the Sand Gaper, which they're called in Europe. They're pretty long, widespread, and yeah, they go all the way from California to Alaska. And yeah, they're a bivalve mollusk. So bivalves are all filter feeders, and this is really important, and I'll kind of touch on this briefly as I go along. But they produce, like, the actual creature itself isn't actually the shell part. It's what you see. Most of the organisms are actually is in the shell. They have this long siphon that comes out of the shell, and the shell is basically just used what you'd like, kind of, it's pretty obvious, is for protection against predation. And yeah, so they have the siphon that comes out, and that's where kind of the feeding happens. They basically take in water through their siphon and filter out all the nutrients out of it, and then basically kind of like spit it back out. That's kind of the process of filter feeding, very generically. But yeah, this is super important. This is a super important process that happens with nutrient cycling and all that jazz. But yeah, so softshell clams are pretty important. Sea otters love them, and you can imagine the whole sea otter, urchin baron sort of scenario that everyone hears about with the decline in sea otters off the BC coast. We're now seeing that there's less and less actual kelp forests, and this is because of the urchin population actually eats the kelp forest down to nothing. And it's actually a pretty destructive activity, the urchin baron activity, because most of the, like, the urchins don't actually eat the whole thing. Like, if you can imagine an urchin, the urchins are like the spiny little kind of spiky guys that live on the, like, on the ocean floor. If you can imagine, I cannot picture the urchin, you know, like, climbing up, because kelp is a pretty tall plant, and the urchins do not actually eat the whole thing. They only eat, like, the tiniest sliver, and that actually, like, uproots the kelp, and then most of the kelp is actually just washed away in sea. So most of the nutrients isn't actually, it's not going to anything. It's besides like macro fauna and just like microorganisms that are basically having to now do all the work decomposing this kelp. So basically they're super important to kind of stop this. For the rise of sea otters, we need food for sea otters. That is urchins, and we've got plenty of those. But also, there needs to be an alternative food source for them as well, because eventually the population of urchins will crash, hopefully, knock on wood. They'll have to rely on multiple different food sources in order to live. But also, softshell clams are eaten by humans. A very important food source for a lot of First Nations here in Canada. And actually, like, a surprising, like, Well, yeah. So there's this thing called there's an activity called I'm not sure if that activity is the right word for it either. There's clam gardens, as they're called. And these are when First Nations would kind of dig these trenches along the shoreline and basically farm the clams. And this technique is super old. I think it dated back to at least 3,000 years ago. And so, yeah, it's kind of it's a neat discovery. I'm not really sure if discovery is the right word for it either, but it's a neat like part of history that I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, it's a pretty cool a cool thing. It's basically what happens is they dig a trench and there's a wall. In the trench, and the wall acts as a barrier for sand to build up. So they've got like a lot of surface area for clams to kind of gather and root without a bunch of sediment in the air or in the water. Yeah, so this is all really important to clam life. And First Nations life, and they would make these clam gardens all along the coast, and it's a really interesting thing. You see that First Nations like utilizing kind of farming their land, and you see this a lot with different types of food gathering. Is you'll see lots of First Nations, you know, like hunting, following the bison herds and stuff like that. It's all like using the land and utilizing the land. And I think there's a lot of misconception, throughout society with biologists, ecologists, of this preconceived notion of like a pristine ecosystem prior to human involvement. And you like that ecosystems lasted, you know, like with human involvement, they evolved with human involvement. And kind of this thought of a pristine ecosystem is a pretty colonial idea of we need to take these ecosystems back to before human contact. Normally people perceive this ecosystem that is prior to European contact, which is problematic, to say the least. I think that a lot of people don't really realize that the humans actually play a critical part of a lot of ecosystems. And in order to, like, constructively manage an ecosystem into a productive way, I think that this should be taken account. It's interesting. What are a lot of people, you know, that are fighting for this pristine ecosystem? What is their final goal to restore an ecosystem too, like restoration? Are you looking to restore an ecosystem to like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, historically, like pre-European contact, post, like What are you doing here? So it is really interesting where we set the bar at, and you see this manipulation of the environment. I'm not sure if that's the correct way to put it, but if it kind of makes sense, by First Nations, and like they were stewards to the land way before. Way before I was, so I think a lot of thought needs to be put into that when, thinking of management plans for different ecosystems. Yeah, it's really cool, clam gardens and stuff like that. And it's all about, the big picture of thinking about people and the environment all as one, which is super important. We're all part of the same ecosystem that is our planet Earth. Yeah. But anyways, I'm gonna play another set of songs, and then got a couple more songs here to play. And I've got a couple more points here to make, too. But I'm going to play a song by the band out of San Francisco, Vagabond. And the song is called Infinite World. Or no, the album is called Infinite Worlds. And the song is called Fear and Force. Yeah, so I'll come back to you in another like 10 minutes or so. Have a good time with the fresh track, Vagabond.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts downtown at Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, the Cinematheque, the Fall Tattooing, Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
Well, this is the Big Bad Multi Man. You know, when I'm in Vancouver, I listen to RPP Sound and DJ Palanza. Wicked!
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm your host, Austin. That last tune we just heard was a song by No Joy off their new Creep EP that's coming out soon, I believe, sometime this February, I believe. But that was the single Hellhole. And before that, we heard The Fonz, 7 Hours off their Lights album. And even before that was Vagabond, Fear and Force off her album Infinite Worlds. Yeah, lots of cool songs. So I'm here to talk to you guys about clams. Clams are cool. Clams are great. They're important. Now, I talked a bit about kind of cultural clamminess, and a little bit about kind of their biological importance with sea otters, kelp forests, etc. And I just kind of wanted to leave with one last kind of management-y thing. Clams are super important. They're also super fragile. Like most filter feeders, they don't do very well with lots of pollution in the water and lots of sediment in the water. So it's really important with these clams to have clean water, have not a lot of erosion and therefore like a lot of sediment in the water if you want to have clam populations. So this all has to be taken account of when making decisions about clams, about your ecosystem, about the ways you want to interact with it. Just another thing to think about, man. Chew on that. Yes, that's all about it. That's all I got about it. All I have to say about it, really. But yeah, I'm gonna sign out here. It's 9:54. It was a pleasure talking to you guys about clams. I will not have a show next Friday. Today's Friday. I will be somewhere on the island taking a bike trip. So hopefully that goes well and I make it all the way to Victoria. That's where the final destination is. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, have a good week. If you're a UBC student, have a good reading week. Hope you got good plans. But yeah, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. I'm gonna play a song by Panda Riot, and then Sobe Setsuku, and then keep on listening, because Mixtapes with Mick and Mac are coming up, and that's a really cool show. But anyways, this is Panda Riot. Good night, rich kids. Ciao, ciao.